Here we go.
Log Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on Monday, June 10th, 2019. And I'm your host for this evening, as usual, and I'm the Miracle Man. And speaking of miracles, I'm going to get to something that I would usually wait until a little bit later in the program to get to, but yesterday, I was listening to since I follow Pastor Parsley on Facebook, I got a notification when it was live. Several hours later, last night I took a look at it, and in it, Ashton said, "You know, how many of you in here are a miracle?" Everybody lifted their hands up and shouted. And I had never thought about this too much, maybe once or twice, since I was little. Maybe a few times. When you think about it, we're all miracles. Every one of us. It's a miracle that we were born. It is. Every last one of us. We are miracles. We are miracles. And we should never lose track of that. You're listening to the show. Just say wherever you are. You're listening wherever you are listening. Just look at your device and say, "I'm a miracle." Amen. We are. I'm a miracle. So, something about when I just came on live and I said, "I'm your host, the Miracle Man," I felt something in my spirit that said, "Don't wait another second to say that now." So, we are all miracles, indeed. All right. And I pray that you receive everything that God has for you tonight. As we're going to get into the Word in a little while, and we're going to continue our discovery of X. Yes, we are. All right. So, past weekend, Saturday. By the way, this weekend was so beautiful, particularly Friday and Saturday. Yesterday around here, we could have went without all that rain. And last night, it was nice having the rain, you know, it helps put you to sleep. But during the day, Saturday, it was so beautiful, 81 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. I was over there at Plymouth stealing suntan from my mom. I was just having a ball. And it was so nice out Saturday here in Michigan. Unfortunately, not only in the Tri-Cities, but looks like for most of Michigan, there's not going to be an 80-degree day until at least next Wednesday. You saw that too, Annie, didn't you?
Yeah, unfortunately I did.
And this basically includes Detroit too, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we're not getting them. In a bunch of swaps that have similar weather patterns, they won't be either. A lot of that heat is locked way down to the south, to South Texas and places like that. And as to why it's doing that, I don't know. My hope is that that can break within the next couple of weeks so that we can get some more warmth. Because I want it to keep getting warmer. I don't want it to have to be that the next 80-degree day I see is when I go to Alabama.
Hopefully it's before then.
It better be before then, otherwise Mother Nature is going to be paying a big fat piper. Yep, paying the consequences for her actions. By the way, listeners, that's what paying the piper means, is that means you're facing the consequences. Yeah, to pay the piper means to suffer the consequences. To face the consequences of one's actions. When I had first heard of paying the piper a couple of years ago, I thought that meant something else. Maybe like just dealing with something. And then I found out, you know, because you had said, I hope America doesn't have to. I don't know how Mother Nature will face the consequences. I wish I could find a way. Maybe. Bottom line is, I want it to stay warm. Because I got caring to do, folks. Because I got caring to do. And I got people to see down there at that city pool. And the only way to them is through Mother Nature. You know, listeners, just like the only way to heaven is through God. Sorry, listeners, and ignore that little noise. I was just making sure that because I had adjusted my volume thing. I just wanted to make sure that I could still hear everything. That's the only reason why I did that. So, sorry about that. But speaking of summer and the hope of summer weather and all that, today is the 10th of the month, which means one thing. It's the day that Dairy Queen discounts their Blizzard down to 132. I think it's 133 actually. And then with tax, it's 140, 141. And you get a small Blizzard for that price that I just mentioned. And it's actually a very good deal.
It really is.
Because normally you will pay $3.81 for that small blizzard. 381. At this local Dairy Queen, of course, prices and participation may vary. Tax extra. That 381 that I gave you was after tax. Really, it's 359. That 359 obviously is not applicable everywhere. And in Ohio, chances are that 359 is probably what you would pay, I feel like. Some locations less, others a few more. But needless to say, after this program, I am going to go get mine. There's two different peanut butter lovin' blizzards that just came out this month. Another one that was brought back for this summer season that I greatly enjoyed last year was the Oreo Fireworks Blizzard, which had Pop Rocks in it. And in your mouth, it kind of makes it sound like these cute little bitty fireworks. That, do you feel like you totally would have been all for that years ago?
No, I don't really like that kind of candy, like Starburst and Skittles. I like the chocolate, the caramel, the cake, stuff like that.
It doesn't seem like sour, though. It's not that sour, though.
No, I like sour, but I just don't like Pop Rocks. But I'm sure the mix would be good.
Yes, it is. And it's really good stuff. It's, listeners, like, you have to try it for yourself. I'm not going to take the time and sit here and describe it to you. But you can go to Dairy Queen tonight still and go grab yourself that small blizzard for $1.59 plus tax. No, it's not. It's actually $1.33 in this market. Other markets, price and participation may vary. See store for details. Tax extra. Unless you're in a state, of course, that doesn't tax that stuff like in Ohio.
Louisiana
doesn't tax it either?
Nope.
How do you know? What's tax? Do you mean to tell me McDonald's is tax-free in Louisiana?
Yes.
Even sit-in?
I don't know about that.
But do you feel like their tax code's kind of similar to Ohio's in that mantra, if you know what I mean?
Probably.
But because sit-down in Ohio, you still pay a sales tax, but when you just go to a fast food place, you don't. But Louisiana is one of them, which is surprising because it's near a couple of high sales tax states, like Alabama is one of them. But in Alabama, where it's 10%, 6 of those 10 cents are actually local taxes. They're not state. Did you realize that? You thought it was maybe 70% of that 10% was for the state, and then the other 30 was local?
Because
in Tennessee, that's kind of how it is. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, that it's 7. In Ohio, generally, it's 5.75 state, generally 1.25 local. And that's kind of how it ends up working. But my point is. And then also, all summer long, you can come to McDonald's and you can get either a $1 soft drink or you can get you can get a ice cream cone for 59 cents. I asked a worker when I was in here last show Wednesday night, and he basically told me it'll be like this all summer.
Wow.
And remember, you were in here. They told us.
Yeah.
Yep. They told us. Like I said, in some of those markets, not a penny more. That place. And then, like she said, Louisiana, some other places. Needless to say, if you're local McDonald's, and cool off for cheap. Also at McDonald's, the new world flavors are here.
Are you gonna try any?
The new world, the new world flavors are that tomato chicken sandwich, the waffle McFlurry, the different cheesy bacon fries that are different from the other chicken, the other cheesy bacon fries, the other ones which I would call the real OG. this is another thing, like the real original, how we go down. Kind of like how with Coke, the real OG is just the plain old classic Coke. Just the real original, the real classic. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that means, you know, and that to say, go ahead and try one of the new worldwide favorites available at a McDonald's near you, a limited time. Obviously, in this case, it doesn't say how long they will be here. But I imagine it'll be most of the summer. Also, I wasn't even looking for these because I thought they wouldn't come around until closer to like June 24th, especially because of how late in April they announced these. And usually if they announce something, it's usually close to at least 2 months. Because everybody has to get the supplies, you know, for the national rollout. Okay. Donut Day update. So, on Friday, which was National Donut Day, I had a doctor's appointment I had to go to. On the way, we stopped to Fenton to a place called Crust Bakery. While there, I picked up a peanut butter and jelly donut with peanut butter fudge on it. Do you feel like that's something you would eat?
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong with peanut butter and chocolate.
Never, ever, 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 ever. Never. Okay. Oh, and with that peanut butter fudge on it? Woo! Yeah. you're speaking the Miracle Man's language now. When you just set that right there in front of him, he's going to eat it. And it was a nice big donut, too, and it was so delicious. It was different from other donuts I've tried. It was shaped a little bit different. Have you ever seen the picture of that particular donut? But it's kind of shaped a little bit different. It's pretty big, too. Oh, yes, it really is. And I can't wait to eat it again. I will always be partial, however, though, to the peanut butter and jelly donut, along with the Yum Yum at Bridgeport, which are only a dollar a piece and some of the best donuts you may ever taste. Prepare the old-fashioned way many, many, many years later. From what I was told, they'd been making them that way at least since the 60s. Remember those Yum Yum Donuts? Me and Donut called them Num Nums. Remember I said that?
Yep.
And in a way, you like Num Num better, don't you, than Yum Yum? Because a donut like that, you know. Just a kind of a somewhat classic glazing, but I don't know what it is about them that makes them so special. Maybe it's the dough. I don't know. Kind of like those donuts from the Amish place in Clare. You feel like there's a secret thing to those, too? And they got some good donuts. And you know, listeners, those of us who are from Michigan, we can gripe about the lack of Chick-fil-A's. We can gripe about not having any Waffle Houses. And, oh, yeah, no Bojangles. No Zaxby's. No Cookout Grill.
No
In-N-Out. That In-N-Out is another thing for another time. These are like more like for like southern/southeast.
Yeah.
You just said In-N-Out because you know they got them in Texas.
Yep, and I know they don't have.
Yep. But sometimes I've eaten. Tennessee has some of those. I think Cincinnati just got one, I feel like, didn't they?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know that.
Needless to say, there's a lot of stuff we don't have, but we do have some really good donut places. We really do. And I'm not saying whether some of them are nationally recognized, others are not. I've heard that Dutch Girl has been recognized before, haven't you?
Yep.
Isn't it like one of the nationally acclaimed ones, I feel like?
Yeah.
Like what? Like one of the 50 best in America? Is that where it is or something?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And is Dutch Grill like on Woodward, I think?
I don't know. I do want to tell you about this one. Look it up, this new place they opened up downtown. And it's like chicken in a bucket with like honey and stuff. I'm going to look it up right now. It sounds like something you would absolutely love.
Is it Gus's or is it something else?
No. Looking it up now. Penny Red.
Penny Red's, where is this at?
This is on Farmer Street in Detroit.
Farmer Street. I've never heard of Farmer. Is this kind of near, like, the Fort of Woodward at Jefferson?
Yep, it's right in Greektown, actually. But that doesn't sound like it's right in Greektown. But that's what it says. That's what they're advertising it as.
You don't know what People Mover... Is it near People Mover Stop?
Yep, and it's all comfort
food. And is it...
It's buckets and biscuits.
Oh, yes.
And it's got this chicken that's out of a big bucket with honey dripping off of it. It's the D word, fine chicken. Penny Red serves up buckets of fried chicken, honey butter biscuits, and local farm dad sides.
Well, listeners, if that doesn't make your mouth water, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
Because one thing they can say is that Detroit is the home of some pretty good soul food, even though it's a little bit different from some of the southern versions.
Brussels sprouts, coconut carrots, dang tangy coleslaw. Yeah, they got some interesting things here.
Yep, kind of a Detroit spin on some of the urban southern. What they call it, like, is that a good way to put it, like urban southern?
It literally says urban ranch. Urban ranch food.
Is that a lot of what Atlanta is all about?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of what I mean, at least as far as America is concerned, like other than all the other your ethnic foods, a lot of what Alabama's centered around is this urban ranch.
Yeah,
because it's like that kind of food, whereas cookout is kind of a an idea. It's like regular fast food, but with a more like mountain twist, and they're known for good value. And I went to cookout, you know, last trip down, and I've already made up my mind that I am going back to cookout. Whether it's this next trip or another time, I don't know. I'm going to make up my mind and put together a list of a couple places. I always make it a point to go to, even if it's the fast food, to one I've never been to before. That is different. I've been to Crystal before, been to a lot of these other ones. There's a place in Alabama called Jack's I went to before. But Ray was telling me there might be something different. I'll have to ask him. I'm sorry about that. Pause, listeners. I was just checking my clock because I could tell that time was starting to drift away from me. Okay, listeners, now. Time, listeners, it's time to quit making each other hungry and get down to business. All right. Now, listeners, I want to tell you how you can tell others how they can be a part of this great radio program. You know, we have the telephone number where you can call in, and we want you to tell them about it. The number to call in to this live show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that area code is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1, and you'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller. She'll just ask you where you're from so that I can properly identify you. And then we'll go from there, and we will just let you have that. Okay? We can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political. We can pray. You want prayer? You want to talk sports? You want to talk about the NBA Finals? Game 5 tonight? You want to talk about what the Tigers have been up to? So maybe you want to ask me a question. Well, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for those prompts, and as I said, go ahead and press 1, and you'll be taken through that call screener, and we'll get you on the air. All right. Now, we're going to pray, and then we're going to open up the Word of God to Acts chapter 22. And we're going to read chapter 22, and then we're going to go to Acts 23 as well. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great radio program tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these wonderful listeners who have made it a point call into this radio show and to learn more about you tonight, Jesus. and who you are, what you're all about. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that these people will learn something. Thank you that they have eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for them. And that they receive something from you tonight, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you used me as an oracle tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you meet every need that is listening to this program tonight. Every listener represents a need. Everybody needs something. They tune in. It's obvious that they need something from you. And I thank you, Lord God, that you meet these needs. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I make my confession over the show. I confess that in your name, Jesus, sponsors and partners come into this radio show. That finances come into this radio program. That increases in listenership come into this radio program. And most of all, Lord God, that souls come into your kingdom, Jesus, via this great radio program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Let's open it up, if you will, please. If you got your Bible, open it with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 22. Woo! Praise God. Acts chapter 22. And I just want to remind you, whatever I do tonight for this next, these next few minutes, whatever I do, you go ahead and just follow along. I pray, you pray. I sing, you sing. As I begin to study the word, you go ahead and study with me. Praise God. And as I said, we're going to Acts 22. I am there now, Acts 22. I will begin reading. You go ahead and follow with me. Verse 1. Now, this is Paul speaking to a crowd. We're beginning in verse 1 of chapter 22. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the state under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council of them can testify. I even obtained letters from them, from their brothers in Damascus, in order to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly, a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice say to me, "Well, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. "What shall I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said. "Go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." Companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. That very moment, I was able to see him. And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one." In the high words from his mouth, "You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away." Calling on his name. "When I return to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. 'Quick,' he said to me, 'leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' 'Lord,' I replied, 'these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, 'Go. I will send you far away from the Gentiles.'" Verse 22. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rip the oath of him. He's not fit to live." As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged, turning the page, directed that he be flogged and questioned in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out, to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. And the commander said, "I had to pay a big price for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen." Paul replied, "Those who were about to question him withdrew immediately." The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. Now we're in chapter 23. And Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth." And Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "You dare to insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits. The Pharisees acknowledge them all. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel had spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. And he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and to bring him into the barracks. Following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage, as you testified about me in Jerusalem, so that you must also testify in Rome. verse 12. The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and found themselves with an oath. They found themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They sent to the chief priests and to the elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here." When the son of Paul's sister heard this thought, he went into the barracks and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the command. He has something to tell." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he had something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, threw him aside, and asked, "What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or to drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." The commander dismissed the young man and cautioned him, "Do not tell anyone that you have reported this to me." Verse 23, then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide marks for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows: Claudius, Cassius, His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and then they were about to kill him. But I came with my troops and rescued him. For I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him. So I brought him to the Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against them that deserved death. or imprisoned. And I was informed of a plot he carried out against the man. I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against them. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipater. The next day, they let the cavalry go on with them while they returned the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. All right. What you see here is what you see here, listeners, is Paul was being tried, even though he didn't do anything. Also, you see that Paul had someone actually threatened to kill Paul. There was a plot of 40 men, and they made an oath that they wouldn't eat or drink anything. Until Paul was dead. It's almost like nothing to eat or drink until after your surgery. Well, these people had made a treaty that they would not eat or drink until Paul was dead. One of the guys hearing this, after he had went into the barracks where Paul was, they told the Sanhedrin, and then they had Paul moved all the way to another city which was far away. After Paul had to testify to all of these guards. And in chapter 22, Paul is explaining his life story and kind of the story of his ministry. And how he was a Roman citizen. And he had to explain to these people, you know, I used to be like just like one of you. In fact, even when Stephen was stoned and killed, I approved of it. It really made me happy. For all you know, Paul, who was Saul at the time, was actually standing there clapping and shouting that Stephen had gotten to him. But then Paul had that experience where he had that flash of light. He fell to the ground. God told him what to do. And he was blinded. And for a couple days he had to be led around. Then Paul got healed. He had his sight returned to him. And then he became very obedient. And he basically said, I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm not going to live to keep persecuting. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be a minister of the gospel as God called me to do. There's no wonder that people in Jerusalem hated Paul so much. They saw what he had done before. They saw the way he had acted. That's why he went so far away to begin with. They knew how he acted. And how disrespectful he had been to the Lord before he had that experience. Got baptized, he repented for everything he had been doing, had turned his whole life around, started living for God with everything he had. Why these people in Jerusalem wouldn't just accept it? And say, thank you, Jesus. Paul is now a changed man. Hallelujah. You know, instead, though, they were angry. At one point in what we read tonight, these people yelled out, rid this man of him. They interrupted his testimony at the end of it. You know? And he was out there testifying. It wasn't like they were in the synagogue and they had ushers to deal with the disturbance. I mean, I hope the guards took that man away who said that. But then they put Paul back in the barracks, not for a jail sentence, but for security. You see, certain guards wanted to attack Paul and have him flogged and put to death that way. But then when they found out that Paul was a Roman citizen, they decided, you know, since you were born Roman, we're not going to flog you. But we still want to know more about this case. And we want to know what on earth is going on. And then he explains. And then one of the people. And then, of course, there's those Pharisees and those Sadducees. Those Sadducees, they never recognized that there was a resurrection, that Jesus arose from the dead. Arose from the dead. Which is sad, you see. Further, why my pastor sometimes, instead of just saying sad, you see, they'll say sad, you see. You've never heard it said like that before, have you?
Yes, I have.
By Dr. Buckley or someone else?
No, just by other people. I can't recall who, but I know I've heard it.
And from pastor, but he's not the only one. The funny thing is 5 years ago, he never used to say it like that. I started saying it. The reason I've said it like that, because I've heard him say it like that, and in a way, I think it's kind of funny, but in another way, listeners, it's the truth. That's kind of why I say it, said it like that, because it is sad, you see, that it, you know, that they don't recognize. You know? They don't recognize. And then Paul admitted that he was a Pharisee. He's not like some of those other Pharisees who tried to go after Jesus that we read about in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, Jesus even said, "Beware, therefore, of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." He's a sinner. And then, of course, Paul says, a little leaven, the whole lump. Some of those people, you see, they were just so unruly for Paul. They were being very judgmental. I think some of these people did not realize that God could deliver a man like Paul, who used to persecute Jesus. And then that in that experience where Paul fell down, Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." At first, though, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" That almost would be like if I said, "Who are you, Annie?" You know? He said that it's not. When someone says, like, "Who are you, Lord?" in a way, is that almost, in your mind, is that almost like another form of denial in a way? So right there, after he fell, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" It would be like if someone were to say that to me, "Who are you, Rev?" instead of "How are you, Rev?" if they said, "Who are you, Rev?" That's like saying, "You're not Rev," you know? And then he's like, "I am Jesus. When you persecute." And I'm sure he says, "I don't know." But he had persecuted him, Jesus, so much that it was like he had to ask Jesus, "Who are you?" And then he revealed them, you know, knowing you first. and he said, stop persecuting, get up, go to where I tell you, and I will direct you. And, you know, God used Paul in so many great ways. Paul had all these great meetings, and so many people got healings, and they learned about Jesus, and they accepted him as their Lord and Savior. And he did all these as we would call them, crusades. He did all these crusades. And maybe some camp meetings. I don't know, but some of them now we would call, you know, camp meetings where we have a bunch of different speakers come. The preachers come, and Paul would be one of the speakers. That they had themselves a time. Paul and those great people. Now, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that we would just get this word on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can save someone. If you could save Paul, you can save us. Thank you, Lord God, that you would save us and him up like you would. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to sing. A song for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry here to the Lord in prayer. Oh, the Lord. Oh, unto the Lord in prayer. I have decided to follow Thee. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. There will be stones in me, the crowd before me. There will be hurt, the crowd before me. The crowd before me, no turning back, 1985, you don't have that same knowledge of those hymns as your mothers and fathers did. And by the way, if you were born after 2000, you have even less knowledge of these hymns. I think it's time to get the hymns back. I'm not saying that's all it's going to have to change, but just to get some of them back in. Because there's something to be said about notion I decided to follow Jesus. This is my soul. Blessed assurance. It is well with my soul. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a friend we have in Jesus. Many of these other hymns that the church used to sing. In many churches, you know, but I just think we need to get back to our roots a little bit, you know. These hymns, well, not for a reason. That's why sometimes I'll sing a hymn. And yes, I sing other stuff too, but we just don't want to lose track of these hymns. You know, we want to know where we Amen. Now for sports.
Tonight,
yes, it is. I'll get to that in a couple minutes. First of all, for the Tigers, this weekend the Tigers can't decide which team they want to be right now. Like on Friday night, they lost to the Twins, but it was a 5-4 decision. You know, they fought hard, but they still lost. Saturday night, they put up a pretty good game. They won 9-5. Cabrera got a couple hits. They put up a pretty good attack, a couple good home runs. The starting pitcher did a decent job. But then yesterday, the Tigers just got totally destroyed as they lost 12-2. Complete destruction. How on earth it got so bad, who knows. But it was rough. Their next series starts tomorrow as they go back on the road. Now, NBA Finals. Tonight is Game 5 in Toronto for the Warriors. It is do or die. If the Warriors lose tonight, the series is done. On Wednesday, after Game 2, the series was tied at 1-1. Kevin Durant had just been injured. I don't think it was until Game 2 that he got injured, was it? I don't think he even got injured until Game 2, did he? Since that point, two more games got played, both of them in Oakland. And the Golden State Warriors lost them both. Mind you, in the one game that Golden State won, at halftime, Golden State was down by double digits. Remember, Annie? They were down by double digits at halftime. But when I think about this, I think Kevin Durant is a big difference maker. And you saw that thing that said he was a game-time decision, right?
Yep.
So that means if he plays, I think the Warriors have a chance tonight. If not, my prediction has been flipped. I originally said that Golden State would win the series in 6 games or possibly 7. Now, on the other hand, after bringing some of Swami out, I had to flip it over. Cedar Point 4, marching on Warriors 1. Or 2 if they're in place, but for all intents and purposes, you should have one prediction and just roll with it. And that prediction is that Golden State is going to lose tonight, therefore losing the series. And Toronto will have won their first ever NBA championship. I don't think the Grizzlies ever got a trophy while they were in Vancouver, did they?
No, not that I know of.
So this would be the only Canada team to get a trophy in the NBA, I think, wouldn't it?
Yep.
This would be the first time that the winning team was not from the U.S. Now, Toronto did it in MLB years ago. In the NHL, we've had several Canadian teams do it. More often than not, even though Canada's bigger, hockey's bigger in Canada, it's still a U.S. team who wins it. I know, right? So I think you could see Toronto winning tonight. I do think that it's going to be a close game. If Durant plays, I feel like it'd be too close to call. Don't you think?
Yeah. It's going to be a close one. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm up on the way with Katie's back. So I don't know if this can happen.
Remember, that thing said game time decision, which means he might not be back. Right now, it just looks like a good chance he will be. Depends on how aggravated his injuries are and what have you. But if he plays it too close to call, but on terms of purposes, my prediction is that Golden State won't win. Toronto will close it out at their house tonight. If they don't close it out at their house tonight, you need to realize that for game six, the series goes back up to Oakland. And for the final game at the Oracle Arena, you know that those fans will be giving it their all. They will be going crazy. It'll just be a huge thing. And that's why I feel like if they win tonight, you could possibly have a game seven. With the win tonight, I feel like the chance of a game seven goes way up, don't you? What do you say, by at least 30 points?
Yeah.
Like they... Or in other words, at least 50% increase, chance increase. Meaning if it was a 30% chance, it'd now be more like a 45, you know. Or if it was 30, it goes to 50, not quite doubling, but like a 66% increase. That's why it all depends on tonight. If Toronto wins tonight at their place, it's done.
Yeah.
And between the two biggest basketball fans that I know of, my assistant sitting right here right now, Annie, she wants Toronto to win. She's tired of seeing Golden State win it all the time. JB still wants them to win another game, still wants them to win, still wants Golden State to win the series. In which case, I'm just neutral. Because, in one way, I love Draymond. Draymond's my favorite on that team. It's not Curry, it's Draymond, that kid from Saginaw. But I wish Detroit would just give him that money. Don't you wish Detroit would just give Draymond Green all that money that he wants?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to play for Detroit.
Why do you feel like he wouldn't want to?
Maybe he wants to be, you know, away from the area to be with here. So, like, that's how I would think.
Well, LeBron started at home, and then he came home again.
Right? True.
Do you feel like once he gets closer to retirement, maybe he might want to come home?
Maybe.
I'd still like to get a couple good years out of him in Detroit, because Detroit is in need of a good team that's going to win that city a championship. They have not had that since 2008. It's time. I've been waiting way too long. I mean, even in the 90s, like in my lifetime, this 11-year time span and growing is the longest in my lifetime we went without a trophy. Because just through the years, I've been alive. Starting with July of 1989 is when it started. So that first one they got in June, that one doesn't count. That makes sense, right? It does, but it doesn't. It doesn't because it was a month premature. In other words, June of 1990, Pistons got one, 97, with the 98, 02, 04, 08, Tigers and Wings, and Pistons and Wings, respectively. And then even Pistons won. 1989, you had the Pistons won one. 1984, the Tigers. I don't think any of them got them in the 70s, though. It was a pretty long drought back in the 70s, I feel like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think the Red Wings ever won a Stanley Cup in the 70s?
I really don't know.
What about 80 to 83? You don't think they did there either?
I have no idea.
As far as the big teams, you don't think anybody got them between 68 and 84?
No.
So that was a 16-year drought. Come on, Detroit.
Yeah.
It's 11 years. And time is clicking. And it's just, and it seems like it's just going to click faster and faster and faster. And 5 years later, we can think it was only 3 years, and really it was five.
Yeah.
And hopefully by then Detroit will have at least found a way to win one championship. Maybe the Lions make the Super Bowl. But by the way, listeners, that could be a sign of the coming of the Lord. Oh, by the way, the trumpet's gonna sound because the Lions just won the Super Bowl. and I've seen some pretty funny stuff regarding that, the whole Lions thing. But hopefully we can get somebody winning again. All right, until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
Yeah, we're good.